So thank you very much for the welcome here this evening to share something of the wonderful message of the Bible, this Christian gospel that is today being presented up and down our land. One of the hymns we sang in introduction said this: "Wonder is above all others, oh how he loves. His is love beyond a brother's, oh how he loves." It perhaps tells us something of the subject that we're going to think about for a few minutes this evening. We're going to think about love, human love, and comparing and contrasting that with the love of God, divine love. I was reminded of it this week when in Perth we were looking out some literature for a gospel outreach we have planned for the next 2 weeks. And one of the little gospel leaflets that we often have on display is this one: "No greater love than this." The little leaflet tells the story of William McPherson, who was perhaps one of the first British soldiers who died in the Battle of the Somme 100 years ago in July. He was one of 15 Victoria Cross winners during that dreadful battle. And William McPherson died, giving his life to save his comrades. A live grenade fell into the trench in which he was, and he willingly and deliberately fell down upon that grenade and was instantly killed as the grenade exploded. But his comrades escaped without a scratch. At the memorial service a year later, July 1st, 1917 in Belfast, one of the key texts was this: "No greater love than this." If you've got a Bible and you want to turn into John chapter 15, we'll just read that one verse. John chapter 15. It was words that were first spoken by the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was going to speak about no greater love than this. The pinnacle, the high watermark of human love. And the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15 and at verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Greater love hath no man than this. If you want, you can turn over to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, and in chapter 5. And again, we're just going to read one verse, but keep your Bibles open because we're going to come back to Romans chapter 5 in a few moments. But first of all, in Romans chapter 5, and we're reading at verse 7. And there, the Apostle Paul, this time writing, says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." No greater love than this. Now, if you had visited Perth over the summer, one of the attractions to the city this summer is a reminder, is a demonstration of the sacrifice of so many men and women in World War I. Men and women who gave their lives in the service of the country, who gave their lives for their friends. It was something known as the Weeping Window, a display that was set up at the Dalhousie Castle and Blackwatch Museum. And the Weeping Window is a cascade comprising several thousand handmade ceramic copies. And they are seen pouring out from a high window to the ground below. It attracted many, many visitors over the summer. As people remembered, 100 years ago, when so many young lives were left dead on the battlefields of France, the weeping window was initially conceived as one of the key elements in the installation, blood-swept lands and seas of red at the Tower of London. You might remember, in the autumn of 2014, the sculpture, Weeping Window, was over a period of weeks surrounded by a vast field of red ceramic poppies. The total number of poppies eventually reached 888,246, matching the number of British and colonial soldiers who died in World War I. And as you saw that installation at the Tower of London, and as we visited the Weeping Window at Dalhousie Castle, we remembered the words of the Lord Jesus that we have just read. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. However, that's not really why we've come together this evening. However interesting it might be, however stimulating, however sad, thinking of so many young lives that were lost in battle, but what we want to draw your attention to is an even greater love, an even more wonderful sacrifice. For we want to think about God's love. We want to think about divine love. And as we think about that, love is lifted to a completely different level. Love is lifted to a higher point. For it tells of how God loved us. Not when we were friends, but what when the Bible says we were enemies. And that brings us back to Romans and chapter 5. And we're going to read a few verses that will include verse 7 that we have already read together, but is going to tell us something of the amazing love of God for you and for me. Can we first of all just read verse 1? And then we're going to go down and read from verse 6 to 10. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then down to verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If you like a little text to go along with the message, if you want something to take away with you, remember verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Human love, but a man lay down his life for his friends. the love of God that the Bible tells us all about is that God gave His Son. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. We're going to think about three little things. We're going to think firstly about verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're going to think about verse 6. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And we're going to think about verse 10. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Amazing. The love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus, that Christ died for us when we were yet sinners, when we were yet without strength, when we were enemies. Firstly then, as we think about divine love, as we think about God's love, verse 8 tells us that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is seen not in that very moving display of poppies, but is seen in a cross. A cross where the Lord Jesus, the Son of the living God, died for us, died for you and died for me, died for us, not because we were His friends, not because we deserved it, not because we were able to pay for it. He died for us when we were sinners and enemies. And in that state, Christ died for us. In the gospel story, the life of the Lord Jesus as recorded by Luke, in Luke chapter 5, we read the story of a leper who met the Lord Jesus and was cleansed. Now the Bible presents to us leprosy as a picture of sin. The Bible presents the leper as a picture of the sinner. And in Luke chapter 5, the man is described as being full of leprosy. You see, leprosy, in Bible times, there was no treatment, there was no cure. Leprosy was a dreadful disease. It defiled, it made unclean, it separated from other people. It left a man, it left a woman hopeless and helpless. And the Bible tells us that that is just like sin. And that is just like the sinner. You might be wondering, what do I mean and what does the Bible mean when it talks about sin? And when it speaks about sinners? Well, the Bible tells us this, that sin is transgression of the law. That is, sin is falling short. Sin is breaking the law of God. Wrong actions, wrong words, wrong thoughts, wrong motives. Deeds that we don't do when we ought to. The Bible says that is sin. And the Bible says, for all have sinned, without exception, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is everywhere. I don't think it needs a preacher to come from Perth to tell you that. You listen to the news bulletins. You pick up your newspaper. You look around your own community. And sin is everywhere. Sin is all around. But what about you? As I've already said, the Bible makes it very personal. And the Bible teaches that all of us, just like that leper, are unclean in the sight of God. every one of us are heading for death and for judgment. In Luke chapter 5, the leper in all his needs, in all his misery, in all his helplessness, came to the Lord Jesus and he said this, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The Lord Jesus said, "I will, be thou clean." The Lord Jesus did what no one else would do. He reached out his hand and he touched that leper. Everyone else would flee. Everyone else would keep a wide breath when the leper approached. But the Lord Jesus, in love, reached out and touched him, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. No one else could help. No one else would draw near. But the Lord Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. The amazing thing about God's love, it was when we were like this, sinners, that the Lord Jesus died for us. He took our place. He bore the punishment that was due to us. When we were sinners, unworthy, undeserving, and yet, in that condition, God showed his love toward us in giving his Son, and Christ died for us. When we come to verse 6, we're not thinking of sinners, but we're thinking of without strength. When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength, helpless, hopeless, undeserving, and yet, Christ died for us. The Bible describes us, sinners, as being dead in trespasses and sins. Dead, unable to change, unable to help ourselves, and yet, in that condition, without strength, God loved us, and Christ died for us. If you turn a few pages over in your Bible from Luke chapter 5, you'll come to a story that the Lord Jesus told. The Bible describes it as a parable, and the story is well known. Many of you will know it. A parable is known as the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's found in Luke chapter 10. And the story that the Lord Jesus told tells of a man on a downward journey. He left Jerusalem. He was heading for Jericho. And on his journey, he was accosted by highway robbers. He was stripped. He was wounded. He was left half dead at the side of the road, and there at the side of the road he lay, bruised, battered, bleeding, near death, helpless and hopeless, ready to die. The Bible says that by chance, some religious, respected, well-to-do men passed by. But the Lord Jesus said this of them, they passed by on the other side. As we are like that poor man, without strength, hopeless and helpless, unable to help ourselves, religion can never save. Good works is of no use. Respectability means nothing. Money cannot buy salvation. Work can never earn salvation. We are helpless. We are hopeless. We are without strength. The poor man, half dead at the side of the road, the story continues, a certain Samaritan came where he was. If that poor man had been able to see the man that was coming down the road, he would have thought, no hope here. He would have thought, no help here. This was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans were bitter rivals, enemies. The Lord Jesus, in speaking with a woman has said, the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And yet, this Samaritan came to where he was. He had compassion on him. He went to him. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He set him on his own beast. He brought him to an inn. He took care of him. What an example of love. What an example of compassion and kindness. What a picture of the Lord Jesus. What a picture of where we were, without strength. And yet the Lord Jesus came to where we were. He came to where we were and he had compassion on us. He came to where we were and he died for us. He took our place, bore the punishment deserved by us that we might be saved. There was no way that we could ever reach up to him. And so the Son of the living God left heaven, came to earth, came to where we were in all our needs. And he met us in our needs. He loved us. Amazing love. We read again in our Bible in a little letter that John the Apostle wrote, he then is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, undeserving, helpless. He saw us in our need. He came to save and rescue us by giving himself for us. Again, in Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus would say that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then we come to verse 10. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were without strength, Christ died for us. And verse 10 is going to tell us, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. When we were yet sinners, defiled, displeasing in the sight of God, the prophet Isaiah said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And yet in that condition, Christ died for us. Not only without strength, helpless and hopeless, unable to help ourselves, but, says Paul, we were enemies, opposed to God. We were on the wrong side. Writing to Christians in the great city of Ephesus, Paul said that we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. That is, we are on the wrong side. We are following the devil and Satan. The spirit, Paul says, that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And yet, he has reconciled us to himself by the death of his Son. When we were enemies, opposed to God, following the prince of the power of the air, he voluntarily gave of his Son that we could be reconciled to God. We read in verse 1 of chapter 5 of peace with God. Sometimes we were far off, but we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I wonder, do you know peace with God? Do you know what it means to be reconciled with God? the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote this letter to the Christians at Rome, knew all about it. He knew what it meant to be an enemy of God. We read of Paul, or Saul as he was then, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He said of himself, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Yes, Paul knew what it was to be an enemy of God, but Paul also knew what it meant to be reconciled to God. He knew what it meant to have peace with God. How? What happened? What made the difference? What did he have to do? Well, the Bible tells us that he was saved. In the same way that sinners today can be saved. In the same way that those that we who are without strength can be lifted up. In the same way that we who are enemies of God can be reconciled to him. Today, tonight, you can be saved. How can you be saved? How can I be saved? Well, Paul tells us, it is by faith in the Lord Jesus who died for us. Thinking to one of his friends, Paul said this, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." He added, "of whom I am chief." Now if Paul, who considered himself the greatest of sinners, could be saved, why not you? And why not me? Saul, as he was saved on the road to Damascus. It was a miraculous, it was a wonderful event when the risen Lord Jesus appeared to him, a sinful rebel, an enemy of God. But God in love appeared to him, brought that proud rebel to his knees, brought him to repentance, confession of sin, and to believe the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What about you? If you're waiting for an experience like the Damascus Road, a bright light from heaven, an audible voice, you're likely going to be disappointed. But you can be saved. Just as Saul of Tarsus was, you can be reconciled to God. You can know your sins forgiven. And Saul was to explain the way many years later. He was a prisoner. A prisoner because he was preaching the gospel of God's love. And to a prison governor he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." What about it? What about it tonight? When we were yet sinners, when we were yet without strength, when we were enemies of God, in great love and compassion, God moved out toward us. And Christ died for us, taking our place, bearing the punishment that was ours to bear, that we could be free, that we could be forgiven, that we could be reconciled to God. And so in a few weeks, as the nation pauses to remember human love, greater love has no man than this. As the nation remembers young men and women who have given their lives to maintain the freedom of the country. John 15 verse 13 is likely to be quoted. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But as you hear these words, and as perhaps you wear a poppy in your lapel, and as you think of the world wars that have claimed so many young lives, remember the love of God, so much higher, so much greater, so much more wonderful. And remember our text, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now perhaps just as we close, we can take time just to sing a couple of verses of 126. 126 in our hymn book that tells us more of the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus. So just sing verses 1 and 2, keeping our seat, the love that Jesus had for me. To suffer on the cruel tree that I, a ransom so might be, is more than tongue can tell. Verses 1 and 2 of 126, just keeping on our seats. Just as we part, we'll take a second just to bow our heads and commend ourselves in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee again that we have been able to contemplate and consider just a little of Thy great love for us. The love that Jesus had for me is more than tongue can tell. And we do confess that our highest thoughts can only scratch the surface of the great love of God. We think of how Thou, the Creator, the great God, upholder of all things, had such a great love for us, undeserving, unmerited, and yet thou gave thy Son, that we might be saved and rescued, that we might know forgiveness of sin. Will you just pray, our God, that each one may have been blessed and encouraged and thrilled to hear again of the love of God. And so we commend ourselves to thee. Ask thy blessing on us now as we part. In Jesus' name, Amen.